Welcome to Ignite Your Confidence for women in leadership who want to speak up and stand out. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Here you'll get all of the tips and tools that you need to stand out with unshakable confidence. Let's jump in to today's episode. Today's episode is all about the cost of not speaking up and, most importantly, what you can do about it. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was in a performing group called Up With People. And I was sitting on a stage after a long day of rehearsal in Tucson, Arizona, with about 150 other people on the stage with me, just hanging out on the risers as we were listening to the director speak to us. He had assigned all of the parts already, the speaking parts as well as the acting parts, although most of it was mostly singing and dancing. But there was one speaking part left, and we saw him fumbling through his notes, and then he went, kind of frustrated. And he said, "Who wants to do this speaking part?" And I wanted to do the speaking part, but I hesitated. And seconds after I thought, okay, I need to raise my hand, the woman next to me raised her hand. And I got to watch her do that part all year long for probably about 50 or more shows. Same part that could have been me. And I will never forget that. I am guessing that you might too have had a time where you didn't speak up and wished that you had. And I'm wondering for you what the cost of that was. For me, I wanted to have a singing part and I did sing in the chorus, but let's face it, I wasn't somebody that was highlighted on stage. And speaking is a gift of mine. It is something that I could have easily raised my hand for, but I hesitated. So I want to talk a little bit about some tips on, first of all, what is the cost of staying silent? And then most importantly, what can we do about it? So again, repeating that. But the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that only 7% of women negotiate their first salary compared to 57% of men. Oh my gosh, this is insane. So we are behind right from the beginning. And I don't say that to depress you. I say that to motivate you. Number one, who can you influence in your life that are young women that are moving into their first job? Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's your own child, could be a niece, nephew, whomever, thinking about helping people advocate for themselves so that they can continually be building on that same salary that they started with. And so what I want to focus on here is, number one, there are compensation gaps. I'm sure that is no surprise to anybody. And it is so true how research shows that consistently women who don't negotiate salaries or advocate for raises face huge gaps throughout their careers in pay. So the reluctance to speak up about that can cost hundreds of dollars. So let's talk about what can you do about that. Number one, make sure that you research market rates for your role and have an idea pretty regularly. I wouldn't say do this all the time, but have an idea of what people make. There is so much more now that is public information so that you can be equipped when you're walking into a salary negotiation or you're potentially going to work at a company and you're interviewing. Be mindful of that and frame requests around value delivered rather than personal needs. This is a mistake that a lot of us make, and I made this mistake for years. Now, I'm grateful I have been a pretty good negotiator over the years, but too often we focus on what we want rather than what we could be doing for the company. So the difference between, oh, I really need a raise because I'm going to be moving into a higher rent apartment or I'm going to be buying a house. There might be compassion for you, but notice how different it would be if you say, I am committed to creating even more value. Here are the ways that I've contributed so far. And if you can tie it back to how the company has actually saved money or saved time or some sort of efficiency, then all the better. So those are some of the things that I would think about. And definitely you want to be mindful of bringing the research with you. So come armed with that research, not just research says, but actually have something in front of you. It also shows initiative and leadership when you have that right in front of you. And make sure that you actually have the research and not just some doodling. But the idea here is to be able to say, hey, this is something based on my contributions and how that has saved the company money or time or whatever it might be, I would like to have a raise. At minimum, ask for it. Here's the other thing. Very sad story with one of my newer clients. We had a celebration call and she said, well, I think I'm celebrating a promotion. And I'm going, what? What do you mean you think? Like, you're either celebrating a promotion or you're not. And she said, well, we had agreed that there would be a title change, but I also understood that there would not be a compensation change based on the way the where things were at with the company. So I'm going, okay, I'm listening. And then she said, well, they mentioned it to me, but it's been a month and a half now and nothing has been said. No communication has happened. And I am listening to her in shock. My jaw was practically on the floor. And first thing I'm thinking is, why didn't you say something? And this is such a good reminder of how often we don't speak up for ourselves. We don't advocate for ourselves. So think about how different it could have been. And if she had just gone to her boss and said something like, hey, I know we talked about this about a month ago. I noticed that there hasn't been any announcement or anything. And I would like to know the status, please. So just being direct. But the problem is, and believe me, I've been there too. The problem is that we wrap so much of our own personal vest, like we invest so much personally in this because of course it's our lives, that we end up being so tied into it emotionally that we forget that we can just ask a simple question of, hey, I wanted to find out what the holdup is, or hey, I wanted to change my title on LinkedIn and I haven't seen an announcement yet. Could you tell me more about that? So I definitely need to find out the status of that. So that's number one, is really around making sure that you avoid any compensation gaps and do everything in your power. And I also want to say that in everything that we're talking about here, we want to focus on what we can control. I don't want to give you a bunch of depressing statistics and leave you there. It's more, what can we do about this? How do we navigate the fact that we know that it's an unfair world? I never said it was. I hope you don't think it is, because you've got to be in reality about these things and think, what actually can I do about this? So that's number one. Number two is thinking about the career advancement costs. So I've had a couple of podcast episodes on this, that when women don't advocate for themselves during performance reviews or promotion discussions, they often get overlooked. And then those opportunities go to more vocal colleagues. Now, notice I didn't say smarter or more experienced. It usually goes to the more vocal one. And this is a very unfortunate reality for introverts. This is sadly the way life is. So we have got to conjure up even more courage and energy and confidence to speak up for ourselves if you're one that's more introverted. So the thing to keep in mind is to document your achievements regularly and let your boss know. It doesn't have to be. In fact, I would not recommend you wait till your review time. I would recommend every once in a while, every one-on-one you have, say, hey, I want to celebrate a couple of wins. I'm documenting, hey, and I also wanted you to know, I'm documenting my career achievements specifically in the role so I can have that at the ready when we have our review. But I would also like to celebrate these milestones with you along the way. Are you open to doing that with me? So being clear that that is something that you want and that you need, and celebrating is something that we generally don't do very well. So if you can be the leader in that, even better, you'll probably inspire other people to do the same thing. So that is definitely something that is very powerful to do. The other thing I would recommend is to practice, as you talk about your contributions or as you write them down, use specific metrics and examples. The more you can do that, the better, because you're going to forget. I do it too. I think, oh, I'm going to remember this. And then I forget. And then who knows what I did 2 weeks ago or even yesterday sometimes. So making sure that you have those things documented. I will tell you one of the biggest career, I wouldn't, well, mistakes for sure. It was a mistake. You may or may not know this story about me that when I was in my corporate leadership role, I found myself tongue-tied in a boardroom one day about to deliver a presentation. And it was informal. I'm just going to be honest, informal. And I couldn't get the words out because I didn't agree with what my boss had suggested I present. But I was taught you don't question your boss, you just figure it out. Well, sure enough, there I am sitting in that meeting, my stomach in my throat, not sure what to do. People actually started trying to help me, which was really embarrassing. But the kicker of total embarrassment was when my boss shut down the meeting and everybody filed out, and I felt so embarrassed. And then she pulled me aside later and she goes, Karen, you didn't trust your gut. You could have just tabled the meeting. And I thought, what? Two things in that moment. Number one, I could have just tabled the meeting. That never would have occurred to me. And number two, why do I keep asking for permission? That's when I set out to figure out why I was doing this because this was costing me. I even got feedback because every year we would give each other feedback on the team. And I got feedback more than once that I was indecisive and waffled and wavered. Do you know how embarrassing that is? But also to feel stuck in, I don't know how to change that. And that is why it took me years. And yet, in certain situations, I was completely confident. So, like you, I'm guessing there are situations where you don't feel so confident. And the nice thing is, we have this thing called, I call it portable confidence, that you can take those moments where you are confident and bring that into those situations where you aren't as confident and use that to your advantage, remembering that it's not a competence issue. It's sometimes just a situational issue, or somebody might trigger you. And my boss triggered me. And that was an uncomfortable situation in that moment. So there are options. And the thing is to be aware and then to be able to do something about it. So don't hold your career back because you're afraid of speaking up. Number three, workplace dynamics and respect. That is a cost when we don't speak up because we're afraid of being interrupted. We have our ideas attributed to other people, or maybe we face inappropriate behavior that erodes your professional standing, which is so, again, totally unfair. And it creates a cycle where your voice becomes increasingly marginalized. So this is really hard, especially if, let's say you were blamed for something that wasn't even your fault, but then everybody thinks it was you, and then people start forming opinions. People are so quick to form opinions, to make assumptions, and to then create evidence for what they think is true. So this is where thinking about how can you deal with workplace dynamics and get the respect that you deserve. A huge part of this is what Alison Fregale talks about in her research, and she's the author of Likeable Badass, that balance of warmth and assertiveness. You want to have both. And by the way, if you haven't heard of the Powerhouse, I have a mastermind specifically for executive women in hospitality. Now, we often take people from other industries. It's really more about being a good fit professionally as well as personality. So, definitely, if this is even of interest to you, to think about how you want to speak with power, advocate for yourself more. Definitely set up a call with me or reach out, and we can talk about whether it would make sense for you to join. So, one of the ways I was thinking about this, because one of the ways that we help each other in the group, or I help the group, and yeah, they help each other as well, is in different ways. Excuse me, my cat decided to make a visit here. So I am trying to deal with that at the moment. I know most of you are watching, listening. You're probably listening on audio, so you can't see it. But now I completely lost my train of thought. So, all this to say, let's see, what was I saying? Creating a cycle. Okay, I'm going to put this on pause for a second. I'm back. Again, thinking about Alison Fregale's research around warmth and assertiveness, the importance of having that balance of both so that you come across in a way that is commanding respect and projects authority, but you also come across as warm and likable. What I find really interesting from what she learned is that too many times women who are given the message that they're too aggressive or they come across as too much as a B, then what happens is they tend to really tone down that assertiveness, but that's actually not what we need to be doing. Keep the assertiveness, amp up the warmth. So that's the thing to keep in mind to help command that respect. And obviously, speaking with authority, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your voice, but really speaking with authority and conviction. So let's go to number four, which is idea ownership and credit, and how we often can pay the price because our ideas are overlooked and then later they're attributed to men. And this he-peating, as it's called, phenomenon, which really sadly helps women, helps is a terrible word to say. It basically means that women lose credit for their contributions, and affecting that can affect your professional reputation and prospects for advancement. So what you want to do is use what I like to call the amplification strategy, which is ask allies that you know in meetings to repeat and credit your ideas in meetings. So, and then follow up. Excuse me. So, thinking about have allies in advance and people, whether it's men or women, any gender, that would attribute things. So, it might be something like, oh, John, Karen actually just said that. I'm so glad that we're all on board for that with that idea. So, something like that. And then make sure that you speak with confidence. So, as I mentioned before, I used to waffle and waver sometimes, but you don't want to undermine your expertise. You want to make sure that you speak with that conviction and authority. And then the other thing that I would recommend is just literally speaking up. So, even like maybe if you're on Zoom, raising your hand a little bit, like, hey, I'm about to speak, just putting your hand out in front of you. You could also do that in a meeting, perhaps. And here's the thing to keep in mind, going back to warmth and assertiveness, smile when you're doing that, or even just raise your eyebrows. That can show this friendliness rather than just a hand coming out that might look aggressive. You want to just lightly put your hand up, but firmly. I know this is all these tactics that we have to use, lightly and firmly, while you have a smile on your face or a raised eyebrow that says, hey, I have an idea here. I'd like to share this. And if somebody repeats it later, this might take even more courage, but to even say something like, oh yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier. Maybe everybody didn't hear me. Now that might be a challenging thing to say. You have to use your best judgment in these situations, of course, but I definitely think it's important to speak up and get people around you to rally for you as well, because we need each other. We need each other to do that. So the last thing I want to talk about is what often happens when we actually don't speak up with our voices. And the fact that we all have agency, you have permission. You don't need to ask for permission. Another fascinating story was when I was being interviewed on a podcast. This company, he owned a large company, and he said, you know what, Karen? He specifically said, this was years ago. He goes, I think you need to own the problem of speaking up in the world. And he goes, I hired someone, and months into them being there, I noticed that she didn't really contribute a whole lot in meetings. And one time she asked me if she could contribute in meetings. And I said, just yes, you don't have to ask my permission. I hired you to be a leader. Go lead. And it is so interesting, so much of this cultural conditioning that we have had to quiet ourselves to feel like we need to ask someone, and typically ask a man to allow us to speak, which is so ridiculous. So it's really about developing the skills and confidence to speak up. And this includes learning to communicate with that warmth and assertiveness so you're not labeled as aggressive, timing things strategically. You don't want to just interject randomly. You want to make sure that you're attuned to what's happening in the room, and then build a support network around you. So you've got sponsors or allies who can amplify your voice. But remember, it is truly a skill that you can practice. And it's not like, a lot of people will ask me, oh, how did you become so good at what you do? I'm thinking, well, practice and feedback, practice and feedback and refinement. It takes time. But I will say, you've got to remember that this is a skill that is so important because the cost of remaining silent often, well, usually it will far exceed the temporary discomfort or pain of advocating for yourself. The challenge is, how do we conjure up that courage? So remember to make that list of things that you do really well. I would also suggest that you consider your self-talk. What are you saying to yourself? Instead of, oh my gosh, I'll never be good enough for that, or they're never gonna promote me here, they're never gonna that. Saying, I am in the job that I want. When you start declaring things as if they've already happened, and you even include emotion in there, that helps them come true faster because the way that we think is the way that we are. And we've got to remember that our thoughts are powerful, our words are powerful. And so remember to speak life over yourself. Things like, I am powerful, fierce, and people love to hear what I have to say. I am so excited to speak in front of 200 people or 30 people or whatever it is. Remember to evoke this positivity because that is going to help so much. And thinking very specifically around your voice, make sure that you are speaking with authority so that you are not doing that upspeak at the end of your sentences. You want to have that vocal conviction in your voice so that you put a period where there is a period, but you also want to have vocal variety like I'm doing right now. I'm changing up the volume, the pitch, and the pace, and having that energy in there, but also having the pauses. So many things to think about. The one thing I would say, it's fascinating to me when we waver and we're tentative in our speech. We come across as if we don't know what we're talking about. So, this goes back to that whole concept of fake it till you make it. Sometimes you have to act as if, even if you don't feel sure, you've got to act sure. And remember to say things like, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. May I have your email? I've got your number. I'm going to text you later and get back to you on that. So, being able to speak with authority sometimes means you speak a little faster at times. That is a way to notice, because sometimes when we're nervous, we speak really slowly or we speak really quickly. So having that balance is super important. Well, my hope is that you walked away with at least one thing today to communicate with more confidence. And remember, it is so powerful to speak up so that you do not have any missed opportunities. And remember that silence helps no one. The world needs you and your voice, so go out and get it. And if you would like more, please reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you about whether it makes sense for you to join my mastermind of women. I also have a free guide on my website called 9 Words to Avoid and What to Say Instead. So feel free to grab that as well.
And that's a wrap of another episode of Ignite Your Confidence. I'm your host, Karen Lauss. Thank you so much for listening. If you love today's episode, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps other people find the podcast faster, and it certainly helps me. Remember, you too can stand out with unshakable confidence.